It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark.
And
good evening.
Welcome to the birthday special of the Gadget Grill. After dodging that asteroid, we are now ready to celebrate by having a party.
I'm always ready to have a party. How about you?
I'm usually ready to have a party. I don't have my birthday suit on. I apologize.
Well, thank God for that. And whose birthday is it, may I ask?
That's a few people's birthdays. It's Linux's birthday. It's 15 years old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Happy birthday, Mr. Linux.
Happy birthday, the competitor and the
reason. Happy birthday, Linus.
Happy birthday, the reason why Windows 7 is going to be so good and why Mac OS is so good. Happy birthday, that. And the web is 20 this week as well.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's a birthday special all around.
And the station's Andrew Beale has a birthday tomorrow as well. I thought I'd mention that.
He's almost as old as the web.
I know.
That's disturbing.
And my good friend Patricia, if you're listening, Patricia, happy birthday to you. It is your birthday tomorrow as
hell?
Well.
What are you doing? Oh. You don't get to do personal shout-outs on your show.
It's a birthday special. Why the hell not?
It's a birthday special for does she work in technology?
Yes, she does.
Well, it's fine then. That's no worries. That's cool. Coming up on tonight's show, we are
Do we have a show tonight?
We have a show.
Oh, thank God.
It's not just listing birthdays. Yes, Mr. A. Smart out of the phone book. Happy birthday. On tonight's show, we're talking about voice-to-text. It's this new technology, similar to text-to-voice, except the exact opposite. Basically,
which means it's nothing at all like it.
Which means it's nothing at all like it. Basically, the idea is simple. You have a voice recording or you have an audio recording, and the technologies we're going to talk about convert it to text.
It's very interesting stuff.
It is, and we were playing around with it today, and we played around with a different type a few months ago, and today's one's even more impressive than the one we saw a few months ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
We'll talk about that later.
We've got some news before that, and we've got even a couple of interviews on the show tonight, because it's cool. We're getting interviews now. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. We've got people who actually talk to us, the poor
bastards.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've got
nothing better to do with their time,
no,
have they?
They do have stuff better to do. They're taking the time out of their busy lives to decide to talk to the Gadget Grill.
They're talking to our listener.
They are.
That is very nice.
That's very nice.
We thank them for their time.
It's like having a personal conversation, except without that extra worry that you have to bring something to the table, you know, like baba ganoush or hummus or whatnot.
Oh, that could be fun, couldn't it? Yeah, we could bring some chips and salsa.
I don't think we're allowed to bring them in here.
No. We're not allowed to bring chips and salsa. Well, certainly we're not allowed to bring the margaritas
in. Not allowed to bring wine in here.
Peter, leave the margaritas outside.
Yeah. That's all coming up on tonight's show. Hopefully less ranting than normal, we hope. We hope.
I've got some rants, but we'll see whether they get to the air or not.
God, I hope not. Okay, but right now, before that, we've got Jenny Owen Young. She's been on the Weed soundtrack. This is called From Here. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, Sydney's Burwood radio station, the voice of the Inner West. My name is Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark.
And this is the Gadget Grill.
On a Sunday night. A beautifully, slightly damp Burwood. Have you taken the chance, listener, to go and have a look? Well, don't do it now. Wait till the show is over.
Oh, no, if you've got some headphones, go to a window and stick your head out. Don't fall out of the window. That would be bad.
That would be bad,
yeah.
Yes. We take no responsibility.
Take no responsibility for any falling that might happen in the next 5 minutes. No, you should stick your head out the window if you can. If you've got a view of the lightning.
The eastern sky.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like, I'm actually really physically annoyed. I think I put it on my Twitter that I have to do a radio show. I love the radio show, but I could really sit outside and watch that lightning for ages.
You should come and do the show from the shed.
Right. Is the shed in the middle of a lightning storm?
Oh, we could arrange for that.
Has it got lightning rods all over it to make sure we get enough energy?
Oh, absolutely.
The shed runs off of energy produced by lightning.
How do you think the shed gets powered?
I'm not even... I thought it was gas, to be honest. I thought there was enough gas and hot air between both of you two.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be it.
That would be it.
What have you got in the way of news,
got
Lee?
Got news. The most interesting news item I'm going to say right now is this one from Google. Google, the people who do the Google phone, which we'll be mentioning next week, and who do Google Earth and all that nifty stuff. Live images from Google Mars are now running. Live updates from the surface of Mars are running. This is from Google. This is they've released a statement. We are entering uncharted territory, and apparently you're accessing the Themis camera from the Mars Odyssey spacecraft. So check out Google Mars. I'm just pulling up a site.
Do they have Street View?
Being no streets on Mars, I think that would be kind of
weird.
You
don't know that there are no streets there. There might be underground.
It'll be like the U2 song where the streets have no name because they don't exist. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Look up Google Mars. I think it's mars.google.com. I have a feeling it's that. But check it, just Google Mars on Google.
It's a rather slow connection though, it takes 7 seconds to get from Mars to here.
Actually, I think that would be roughly accurate, to be honest. What have you got?
What have I got? Apple. This is an interesting rumor. Apple will take third quarter delivery of newly developed 10-inch touchscreens from Taiwan.
Oh, it's the thing that we've all been hoping for, isn't it?
Yes, a source said on Wednesday. Amid talk, the US firm is developing a touchscreen PC.
Well, we've been asking for one. Almost every journalist has been asking for the same thing, a touchscreen portable Apple computer for 2-3 years now, ever since the Newton was basically their first version of this.
Well, the Newton was a different device again, but yes.
Yeah.
Taiwan touchscreen specialist WinTech already makes small screens for the iPhones, and apparently they've received orders for the larger screens that are roughly the same size as those used in mini PCs and netbooks. The story is that they're going to make some sort of not so much a netbook, but a tablet PC.
Interesting.
And it's going to run OS X,
or a version of the
iPhone OS.
There's another thing I'm hearing that about Apple. Apple seem to get a news mention every week on our show. Have you noticed that?
Well, that's because
there's a lot of Apple news.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a rumor going around that Apple will be launching a pricey iPhone app store thing where you'll be able to get games for about $20 or $30.
That is not a good idea.
I'm not sure about that. Like, I buy a lot of the games for the iPhone, and we review them in video reviews on the website, which is kind of cool. But I'm not sure about a $20-$30 iPhone game, to be honest.
On the subject of iPhone games, you should tell the listener about the one you got the other day.
Which one? Oh, yes, Sully's Flight, yeah.
Yes.
If you go to www.gadgetgrill.com.au, you can actually find a video review we've done for X-Plane, which is a flight simulator that's made by the guys who did the X-Plane flight simulator for Linux, Windows, and Mac. And it's the most realistic flight simulator you can get. However, they've gone and made X-Plane for the iPhone. And for $1.20, if you've got an iPhone or iPod Touch, there's now a one scenario mission for you to play Sully's Flight. That's the name of the app. And it has you in the position of the person who landed that plane in, where was it?
The Hudson River.
The Hudson River, yeah, that exact scenario. So to see if you can take off and land that plane in those unlikely situations, they've made it realistic. I crash every single time.
You upset the poor residents of Brooklyn and Long Island, don't you?
I keep crashing into the land. I keep missing the water and somehow crashing in. I think I'm missing the point.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remember that when you take that next flight, be thankful that Lee Stark is not the pilot in command.
Damn straight. Kogan got on our list last week for the $900 Kevin 37 TV that they're planning on doing. This week they announced a netbook, the Kogan Agora netbook, which I'm not sure about. They're going to be releasing this thing for between, I think it's $490 and $530, each have different specs, but it looks like it could be one to look at. While my dad dies over in the other corner of the room. There's also something new from Toshiba. They're talking about... Could you stop panting? I don't want to even think about what's happening underneath that table. Toshiba are looking at the possibility of a 1080p small video camera for around $200.
That is cheap for 1080p.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's called
It's inexpensive. Toshiba make good quality equipment, yes. So I wouldn't call their stuff cheap.
It's called the Camellio S10. I'm going to get in touch with my associates who deal with Toshiba and find out if this is coming to Australia, because the concept of a really small 1080p video camera, I'm sure it gets a lot of people thinking.
I'd be worried about the sensor size and the quality, even at 1080p.
I think it's going to be much like the Flip, and remember the Creative Vado, whatever it's called, the really tiny ones that run on that run on compact flash and solid state drives. I think it's built like that.
Right.
I don't know how good the quality will be, but it could be worth finding out.
Oh, it'll certainly absolutely be worth finding out about.
What have you got?
Internet connectivity is getting more and more pervasive, so that even passengers on Japan's world famous bullet trains will soon be able to access the internet via Wi-Fi. This started yesterday, in fact.
So they could be listening to this on the bullet train right now.
You can be listening to the Gadget Grill while you're travelling from Tokyo to Osaka. and listening to it via the internet on an internet connection on the bullet train.
Just to tell you, we do not broadcast in Japanese.
No. You get a maximum speed of 2 megabits per second when the trains run at full speed.
Wow, that's not
or
bad.
Through tunnels, while they're able to hit 54 megabits per second, theoretically, in waiting lounge areas. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's actually really good. I mean, for what that is, that's really good. It doesn't really... It tells me that none of this interferes with train operations, which also tells me that planes also are going to have to start looking for another excuse as well.
Well, some of the planes are starting to allow internet connectivity. They're putting their own little... they're putting their own little hotspot transmitters inside the planes.
I've got two more news stories.
Go for it.
One's very technical. A company called Caustic Graphics, which are a San Francisco startup, are launching a new card which aims to make ray tracing work at gaming speeds. Now, this might not mean a lot to most people, but ray tracing is basically the ability to produce photorealistic animations and graphics, which takes a lot of CPU power, an amazing amount. It takes a lot of time, and they're expecting to unleash this mid next year. But if you're an animator, and if you're one of those people who sits there and goes, oh, I wonder why it takes so long to get Pixar movies and DreamWorks movies out, this could very well speed that up completely. And the other thing I've got is we actually run this show off from Radio Dex and two MSI Wins, which are the netbooks, just like the Agora netbook we Only mentioned better. Earlier. Well, we don't know. We don't know what the Agora is like. A new one, this is worth noting because it's really interesting, the MSI Win, the new version, the U115, which actually runs off of a solid-state hybrid and hard drive hybrid sort of connection. It's rated for like about a minimum of 5.5 hours, and it can reach a According to the guys at, I have it here, according to the guys at epc.de in Germany, it can reach 15 hours of battery life. Which is incredible.
That basically means that you can fly from Sydney to Los Angeles and watch movies all the way across on your PC.
Or write articles,
whatever. You know, sort of, and if you've got a movie collection like mine, then you'll upset your next door neighbor in the seat.
Wow, I still don't want to know what's going on underneath that table of yours.
In that case, let's play some music.
Let's play some music. This is actually, it is what you think it is. It's feeling good. It's the jazz version, but it's not the jazz version. This is My Brightest Diamond.
You're not trying to confuse it with Feeling Alright, are
you? No. This is Feeling Good. This is from the Dark Was the Night CD, and this is My Brightest Diamond with Feeling Good.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel.
It's The Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, also available on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com, and The Gadget Grill, which you can find this story and everything else we talk about, as well as past stories, videos, reviews, news, information, lots of random things, the occasional picture of someone, at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
And hopefully you'll find the occasional complaint.
They do pop up from time to time, yes.
Not frequently enough for my liking.
Yeah, if you do have a complaint, please word it to specifically gary@gadgetgrill.com.au.
And I will deal with you in an inappropriate manner.
And an inappropriate, often inhumane, and probably shameful attitude. Yeah, go you.
No listeners were harmed during the making of this message.
Not of this one, though. Not of this one in particular. But next week, who knows, you know? It might happen. Right now, we've got our feature, which tonight is voice to text. I mean... Yeah, well, you can start. Yeah,
it's a very, very interesting technology. The concept is that the technology listens to what you are saying, and it tries to transcribe that into text.
Which is good, because normally I don't listen to a thing you say. Well, and if I can just read the cliff notes afterwards, it's a lot better.
Exactly. The idea being that, it's the technological equivalent of a dictaphone. Part of the problem, however, is that I speak the way I speak, you speak the way you speak, my friend Lawrence in Hong Kong speaks with a Chinese accent, my friend Walt in California speaks with a Midwest accent because he's not originally from California, Patricia in Dallas speaks with a...
You just keep mentioning her. Can you,
oh, yeah.
She speaks with a Texan accent.
Well, no, actually, she's part Texan, part Arkansas, because right, she was born in Arkansas.
Great, that's great. I speak with a
which
half
means
Texan...
Her sister, which means her brother is a husband, and...
Yeah, okay, good. I speak with a half Texan and Australian accent because of where I grew up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Part of now, what basically what that all means is that everybody has a different dialect, and everybody calls what they say, what they're speaking, is English. So
unless they're speaking in a different language.
Yeah. 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 But for those who amongst us who are English speaking, then we have different ways of speaking, and everybody sounds different. If you come from Melbourne, you sound different than from somebody who comes from Sydney. If you're from Queensland, it's an entirely different language again. Now, the problem with speech-to-text is trying to decipher the different dialects, the different nuances. You say tomato, I say tomato things.
And it's not just as simple as that. I mean, if you think about how Australians in general speak, there's no... people from Melbourne and people from Sydney speak completely differently.
I thought I just said that.
Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah. But that's the thing. Everyone speaks completely differently, and if we can't operate off a similar speech parameter, then we have to come up with a way of working it.
Yeah.
And
you might say Australia instead of Australia.
I don't think I'd ever say that, to be honest.
No. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see how... we haven't tried that yet.
We haven't tried it with a full
we'll
Australian, have we?
We'll try that tonight, no.
What we saw mid to late last year, we saw Adobe, who do Acrobat, which most people know, and they do Flash, the website animation technology, and they also do Photoshop. Well, they came out with a tool last year, Soundbooth CS4.
We didn't put the tool in the shed?
No, we didn't put the tool in the shed. We should put it in the shed later. I'll put you in there as a tool as well in a few minutes. The Soundbooth CS4 came with an interesting feature. It's a audio editing tool designed for... Well, it's basically designed for beginners and people who want to learn audio editing. And one of the features of this tool was called speech-to-text, basically, or it's a speech search. And what you can do is you take your audio file, like your audio interview, like what we're having now, or the radio show, and the program runs what's called, I've got it here, it's from a company called Autonomy, it's Intelligent Data Operating Layer Platform, that translates to IDLE, you know, as a nice acronym,
a four-letter acronym.
But from what we can tell, we don't know a lot about it. We did try to get Adobe onto the show to find out, we're still trying to get them. It works off of phonemes and sounds and algorithms to convert what you're actually saying into
English, please.
It works off of how you say things to try and convert them into text. It tries to work off of mathematical logic and mathematical algorithms to basically say, here's my information and here is it in a text format. Basically, like if someone were to read you a book out loud. And in testing it when it first came out, it was getting about 60-70% accuracy.
We were quite impressed with what it was doing.
Yeah.
When we first saw it.
And now that it's out, I'm still stuck on the 60-70% accuracy. We were testing with US sounds.
Different dialects.
Yeah, the different dialects. The Australian, I actually don't think the Australian's quite up there, to be honest, in my testing. But it does work. The technology is close, so it gives you a close understanding, a close transcript, which then is allowed to be searchable.
Yeah.
But you were playing with different technology.
Well, yeah, just before we go, I was impressed with the 60-70%. I thought, you know...
That was impressive, considering we'd never seen that before.
That's right. We'd never come anything close to it.
When I came back home after being told what it was, and I said to Dad, hey, there's sound OCR, ostensible character recognition. Is it ostensible?
Optical.
Yeah. Optical character recognition. There's sound, basically, sound version of OCR in this program. His jaw dropped.
Exactly.
Because it's not something you ever expect.
Okay. Now, Skype have introduced a thing called Spinvox into their services. Last week when I was speaking with Dan Neely from Skype, this is what he had to say about the Spinvox technology.
At a high level, again, one of our missions is enabling the, you know, the world's conversations is to provide the multimodal way for you to communicate. So it's the voice, it's the chat, it's the video. And so we find in that many people asked for, they wanted voicemail. So we rolled out voicemail. And then there are certain people that want voicemail where they don't have the ability to talk on the phone, so they actually would like it translated. And that's really what's transmitted and communicated via text. And that was really the idea behind the cooperation that we have with Spinbox. And so what the Spinbox service does, which is very simple, is when somebody leaves you a voicemail via your Skype account, you have the option of getting that voicemail actually translated into text and sent to you either via email or SMS.
Okay.
And so that's it. And so we think, again, that it's just one more way to communicate.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, obviously with SMS, there's a cost involved. How about if you just get it sent to your email address? Does that cost as well or not?
So it's free to the email, and you know, accurately point out that there is a charge for SMS, like it is when you, anytime anybody sends an SMS. And so from a cost standpoint, it actually depends on how long the message you send is, because in certain instances it can't all be captured in a single SMS. But for the most part, the total cost of sending that to an SMS would be around 50 cents, roughly 50 to 53 cents Australian.
Thank you, Dan. Yes, that was Dan Neary from Skype talking about the Spinvox service that they've just brought in. Now, what I've been able to do is I've been actually able to set that up, and I'll come to the setup procedure in a moment for this, because it leaves a little bit to be desired, and there's a couple of inaccuracies in what Dan said as well.
Don't rant, obviously.
That I'll come to in a moment as well. But I set up the Skype service, the Spinvox service on my account, and I was impressed with what it did is not doing Spinvox justice.
It's a shame it only works on small amounts of data, really.
Yeah, it's, you know, well, we don't know how small amounts of data it does work on.
And because, we know it doesn't work with Japanese after testing.
Well, part of the problem is that Dan said that it works for SMS and it works for email. Mm. The way that it's set up is totally unintuitive. It is not obvious how you do it, and I could not see any way at all to set it up for email. When I went through the processes and then finally got it set up to SMS and then tried to change it back to set it to email, it just simply sent an email notification and not the contents of it. Mm. But when I set it up to send me an SMS of the message, you would ring up my Skype number, I would not answer it, you would leave a voicemail, and it would translate the voicemail word for word with, I would say, 99.9% accuracy of what was said on the testing that we did. I was very bloody impressed with the quality of the translation.
You had me, when I came home today, you had me test it out. I'm not sure if you have one of the transcripts of what I said with you over there. I'm sure you can get it.
I have the transcript, but I don't have the recording
of
what you
just
said.
Read the transcript, because I'm pretty sure it is identical to what I said.
Okay, I'll read the transcript of the second message.
Yep.
Which says, I think I got something in my teeth. It tastes terrible. What the heck? Sorry now. I sound a little bit better. I am more myself now. Hello, Dad. Are you okay? Is everybody okay? I think I've done enough voices now. Oh, do behave.
Yeah, and I was trying to do a Austin Powers at the end there, but it didn't quite work. So it sounded even worse from your voice.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, no, that was exactly what I said. And throughout that, I was alternating for about four or five different types of voices to see if I could trip it. And I couldn't. I'm really curious to see how the technology works. I don't know, but
we've got to spend a little bit more time with it. But it's certainly, what I've seen is very impressive. It costs about 50 cents a message. It works in English, Spanish, French, and German.
Shame it doesn't work for Japanese or Cantonese or something like that. Yeah.
There's a 10-minute delay between when you leave the message and when it sends you the message, because that's a deliberate decision on the part of Skype to allow you time to actually go and retrieve your voicemail message.
To give them credit, that's like nothing, considering that it takes you about a minute to actually get into your voicemail and then wait for the end of the call. And sometimes you can't actually understand what people are saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that is very, very impressive technology. I'm trying to find out a little bit more about how you actually set it up.
I'd like to find out how it works.
Yeah. We'll post some details about how you actually do the setup on the website
as part of this. Yeah, just so you don't run into the same problems that Dad over here did.
Exactly, exactly.
But yeah.
Okay, now you got one other thing on text-to-voice.
Yeah, there's a. It's not quite text-to-voice. It's text-to-voice.
Sorry, voice-to-text.
This one is text-to-voice. This is the exact opposite. Apple this week launched the new iPod Shuffle, which, to be honest, I'm not quite too fan of the idea of having headphones that require the connections on them. But we'll get to that at a later date. Apple, send us a review product. We'll get to that. Anyway, one of the new features of this iPod Shuffle is the use of... since you can't actually see what you're playing, Apple have this feature that allows you to hear what you're playing. And by doing that, if you're listening to, say, if you're listening to the last track, which is My Brightest Diamond Feeling Good, it will say My Brightest Diamond Feeling Good. This sort of technology backfires, though, because a lot of people don't quite have the right track names. And it's often the case for a lot of old MP3s or a lot of... CDs, Australian CDs in particular, that don't have CD information. So it'll say Artist 1, Track 1. So this is a new voice technology. It's not automatic. It requires you to actually run something in iTunes to get it to work. So if you've got a new iPod Shuffle and you're expecting this and it's not working for you, that's why.
Okay, what do we got?
We got a song. This is this is a weird song for this. This is This Land Is Your Land by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
It's your land. Check this out.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
At 8.1, this is The Gadget Grill with Lee Stark and Gary Stark.
Where?
Yeah, you're over there, yeah. And right now we're quickly going to look... Well, actually, we're going to look at two things, aren't we? We've got a review and we've got an interview.
Okay.
I'll do the interview first.
Okay.
This week we spoke to Andrew Jenkins out from Xbox because there's been interesting things happening with the Xbox. The Xbox is now not just a video game system. This is what I was hearing about. We had a talk with AJ from Microsoft to find out what exactly has been changing. So this is it.
It's a software update that really reinvents the Xbox 360 from the inside out, making it more approachable, adding a ton of new features, just really adding some great visuals, and just making it an experience that everybody's going to be able to enjoy. For instance, if you want to play games, obviously we've got one of the best gaming consoles on the market with 500-plus games available, as well as a whole bunch that you can download directly to your Xbox 360. But we also have the ability to watch movies, to pause and play live TV, to connect with your friends, to share photos. Social networking is a huge phenomenon over PC, as you see right now. You've got products out there like Facebook and MySpace. Well, you can do similar stuff on your Xbox 360 where I can share photos with my friends and my families all over the globe and share those great experiences. I could do video chatting. I could sit there and have a conversation basically with anybody at any time from my living room. It's fantastic.
I'm curious about the pause and play TV thing because I didn't actually think my Xbox could do that.
Ah, well, see, that's actually something that the Xbox allow you to do, and the way that allows you to do that is most people have a PC in their house, and through connecting to your PC through the media extender, you're actually able to record live TV you can sit there and play it. So you see a lot of devices out there right now that digital recording devices that allow you to do the exact same thing that the Xbox 360 is going to allow you to do. Now, it does require a connection to your PC, but the great thing is that opens up a whole world of other possibilities. Being able to get any of your media that you may have stored on your Xbox or your PC and share them in your living room. I showed someone how to set it up just yesterday, and it took me all of maybe a minute just to plug in a simple 8-digit code that it tells me what the code is, and all of a sudden I'm connected up and running.
Andrew Jenkins from Microsoft's Xbox group. We'll actually try and work out a way to put it on the website. You can see what's new. I'll try and do some capturing there so you can see just what some of the features are. I was playing with them. There are some cool things. It is, you know, between Microsoft and Sony and even Nintendo, you are beginning to see the video game systems remove the concept of a computer in the living room.
Well, you know, sort of there's the convergence there, and of course the competition between the manufacturers is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a song, and this is Spoon with I Could Be Underground.
Well, I wanna get messed up again.
This is The Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ with Lee and Gary Stark, and you can find everything we're talking about tonight, including the full interview, well, the mostly full interview from We Heard from Xbox's Andrew Jenkins there at www.gadgetgrill.com.au, probably tomorrow. I just have to finish transcribing it. I'll run it through that software.
Yes, yeah. And see what sort of gibberish it comes
out with. You've got a review, though.
I have a review. I've been playing with Altec Lansing In Motion Sound Blade over the last few weeks. It is an external Bluetooth speaker and speakerphone for your cell phones. Now, one of the things that you need to know is that if you have an A2DP cell phone,
you're great.
Mobile phone, then this will connect to it. I hope you're happy, Jeff.
If you have an iPhone, however.
If you have an iPhone or if you have one of the Google Androids,
we'll talk about that one next week.
It will not talk to this device.
Yeah.
But the setup for this device is very easy. You just push the connect button, set up your mobile phone so that it's in visible mode, and the two will start talking to one another. You'll be asked for a passkey, enter in the passkey, and connect.
What's it sound like?
The sound is very good. I wasn't able to get it to distort in playing some music.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, you know, sort of even on full volume. It's not necessarily a really powerful amplifier, but it's certainly adequate in terms of music reproduction for general listening.
It's somewhat stylish, too. I mean, it's not much bigger than an A4 sheet of paper, and the thickness is, what, about a little bit thicker than that of an iPhone?
Okay, let's do it to something that people can relate to. It is a little bit longer than the width of your wind. It is narrower and thinner than your wind, and it weighs probably less than half what an MSI wind weighs.
Yeah, it's very similar to like an EPC or something like that, and
yeah.
Smaller.
Yeah, sort of like a tablet PC. It's very stylish, it's very nice.
You can plug it in using a 3.5mm jack as well, can't you?
Yes.
3.5mm sound input.
There is 3.5mm sound input, and the way the stand just flips out from the back is very nice.
I did try to get photos of that. It's very hard to show flipping action.
Yes, it is.
It is.
And the other thing on that, of course, is that it is also a hands-free speakerphone for your mobile phone.
Did it work well?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
For the test that I did, it seemed to work fine. So
that's good. So if you get bad reception and you want to put that somewhere in your home,
you leave the phone somewhere where it can get good reception, and this will just sit somewhere handy by you, and you can make. The only thing is you can't make calls all that easily because it doesn't have a keypad.
That's a shame. Oh well. You know, you can't have everything.
That's life. It is a very nicely designed unit. It is your typical Altec Lansing quality, which is usually pretty solid. Which is usually very solid, yeah. This is not an exception to the
rule. Full review on the website this week?
Yes, it will be there this week.
Oh, that's sweet. And as soon as I approve it.
As soon as you add the photos to it,
right,
actually.
Cool, no worries.
So that's almost it for this week.
That's almost it.
Do we have a useless gadget or a useless...
Unless you want to talk quickly about the hemorrhoid device, but I'm not sure if I really want to mention something.
That's a bit of a bummer.
The arse crack of society, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer. We might Actually, I might use that article on Tuesday.
Yeah,
in the
so
shit.
If you want to know what
it's
the
more appropriate for the shit, isn't it?
If you
it?
Want to know what the hemorrhoid device is, please tune in from Tuesday at 1 to 3 on... Is it 1 to 3?
1 till 3. 1 to 3 right
on,
here to,
on 2RDJ.
2RDJ FM 88.1 or www.radio2rdj.com, which is what you're listening to right now, except you are listening to The Gadget Grill with Lee Stark and Gary Stark.
Go for ultimate confusion. Next week, aren't we talking about the... what are we talking about next week?
I haven't got a clue. You didn't tell me.
I thought we were talking about the semantic stuff.
We're going to talk about the semantic stuff.
We can't tell you what that is because it doesn't. We're not actually allowed to. But we're going to talk to you next week about something very cool that actually has nothing to do with antivirus. It's completely out of this world, and it relates to everything that you know about technology and people that you meet.
What we have is actually very cool and very, very good.
And if we and if we're wrong, we'll end up speaking about something else. So you know, you never know here. So my name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark. And you have been listening to 2RDJ FM.
And The Gadget Grill.
And The Gadget Grill on a Sunday night here in Sydney.
And right now...
You can go out after this next track and enjoy
the light show.
It is
still going.
Absolutely spectacular.
If it's still
after
going.
The news, we have Alan Borg. Mm-hmm. And right now we have...
Maceo Parker with Shake Everything You Got.